April is National Distracted Driving Awareness Month, and the Connecticut Department of Transportation has launched its statewide driving awareness and enforcement campaign to crack down on, you guessed it, distracted drivers. Who better to chat with than Josh Morgan from the Department of Transportation back with us? Hey, Josh, how are you?
Good morning, Melissa. I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very focused. My phone is down.
Good.
You have my full attention. And I'm hoping the
Thank
same
you.
Goes for all the drivers. Yes, I am, Eric. My producer looked up at me like I'm lying. I am looking right at Josh's name, and I'm about to ask him questions about this, I promise you. I actually had this in the news, Josh, that there were some numbers that came out. AAA put numbers out there, and NHTSA kind of supports the fact that cell phone usage, not just calls, but the text messaging, the emailing, the social media scrolling, heck, the watching a game or a show while you're driving, streaming, you know, on your phone. It's the biggest issue, hands down, with you know, dangerous driving on the roads. And we have local and national data that supports that.
Yeah, I mean, too often, and you know, you ask anyone who is driven around Connecticut, you've seen someone texting, you've seen someone playing on their phone, watching videos. Heck, you know, you've seen people eating bowls of cereal or trying to read the newspaper. It's not just the phones. Phones are 100% a major problem when people are driving and getting distracted. But anything that's taking your focus off of the road, taking your hands off the wheel, diverting your attention is a distraction. So yes, the phones are a big deal, but anything that's going to take your focus away could cause a crash, could get someone hurt, could get someone killed, and it's a major problem. And you know, this month is Distracted Driving Awareness Month, and we partner with state and local law enforcement agencies to get more bodies out on the streets, out in the communities, and have increased enforcement. So you know, put the phone away, otherwise you're going to get a ticket this month, because there's going to be local and state police out really enforcing these distracted driving laws.
Tell us about this campaign a little bit more specifically, Josh, because when you hear about patrols and, you know, being ticketed and everything, people's, you know, ears, I think, perk up a little bit more. What can people expect, especially this month?
Yeah, the way it works is, you know, we're able to offer grants to state police and local municipal police departments to help pay for staffing. We know that enforcement is one of the key tools in the toolbox to be able to keep our roads and communities safe. So the grant funding goes to help fund those overtime shifts to have additional officers or troopers out there. And specifically, they're not only looking for distracted driving. If someone is speeding or impaired or doing something reckless, they will pull them over also, but really with a main focus on distracted driving, because it is so prevalent, it is such a problem, and it's costing people their lives.
Josh, are there things that need to happen, I would think, at the national level? Because we do have to go back to, sure, there are other people who will brush their hair, put on makeup, or eat a bowl of cereal behind the wheel. But overwhelmingly, you know, we have an issue with the phones. I mean, I remember back, my car still actually has CDs. But I think the biggest concern when I was learning to drive was changing out your CD or changing out your cassette tape, right? Because it's like, oh, you don't want a CD to fall and lean forward, and then boom, there it is. You know, that was our biggest concern. Now, I mean, the cars have made it where you can be hands-free, but it doesn't really matter. People are still distracted, whether that's checking a text or an email or whatever it may be. I mean, the phones are easily the biggest reason that people are distracted while they're driving. Are there things that I don't know if it's the state level, I feel like it has to be at the federal level, that needs to happen for either the car manufacturing or, I mean, are there things that you would like to see done to also crack down on this? Because, I mean, we could throw PSAs out there, we could give people tickets, but as you mentioned, the average person, and the next generation's learning this, because they're watching mom and dad or aunt and uncle or whoever it is they're driving with also pick up their phone and get distracted. So they then will adopt those behaviors, mark my words. But are there things that you'd like to see done to crack down on this at the federal level?
Yeah, I mean, it's important when we're looking at motor vehicle safety that there are, you know, the federal standards. That's you know, so important, especially with these new vehicles that are coming out. Their safety features are not a luxury item. You know, you don't have to have the top class of your vehicle to, you know, have airbags or have seat belts. Same thing when it comes to, you know, backup cameras or lane, you know, blind spot detectors in your mirrors. A lot of these are being built standard, whether it's the, you know, quote unquote, the base model of the car or the, you know, the top tier of that vehicle. You know, things that we have talked about previously, Melissa, in terms of, you know, streaming your phone or, you know, device to your dashboard. I mean, there's safety features that are already built in that bad actors are trying to bypass and go around. I think it's going to be really hard to have a national standard to, you know, legislate or have something in place that says that your phone is not going to work if your car is moving. I'm not sure how that would work. It's just unfortunate because I would say 99% of the population knows they shouldn't be texting and driving. They shouldn't be scrolling TikTok while they're driving. But they think, you know what, it's just a second. It's going to be okay. I've done this before. Nothing bad's going to happen. Sometimes that's true, and tragically, sometimes that's not true. There's no text message. There's no email. There's no social media video that's worth your life or anyone else's life. And we really just hope people can do the safe and responsible thing and not have to, you know, create new laws or create legislation to, you know, prohibit or ban these things. People know better. We just need them to, you know, follow through on what they know is right.
Are there current bills right now, Josh, that the DOT has put forward in front of the legislature that specifically talks about distracted driving? I know there's obviously, one of the things that you and I talked about the last time you were on was the potential of speed cameras, which I do think plays into actually distracted driving. Sometimes people are speeding a lot of the times because they are distracted and not even realizing how fast they are going, or they're not aware of their surroundings or whatever, what have you. But are there specific bills that have been proposed and DOT is supporting that also correlates with distracted driving?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you mentioned, you know, people distracted by their phones and speeding. It also works the other way. You know, they're distracted by their phones, and then they're just not even going the speed limit. They're driving so slow that they're potentially creating an unsafe condition. So, yeah, I mean, everything we're looking at, whether it's, speed camera and enforcement, you know, banning the sale of video converters, it's all really trying to keep people safe based on the data that we're seeing, the trends that we're seeing, what we're hearing from our law enforcement partners. And it's so obvious when you're at a traffic signal and someone's head is in their lap, you know that they're on their phone. And then the light turns green and then they don't move. And then people start honking and then people start acting aggressive. And, you know, I'll maybe be graceful and say, you know, maybe that was a life and death phone call or text message that they got.
Oh, you're being really nice, Josh. There's no way.
By and large, it's not. They're checking a recipe online, or they're just scrolling through social media.
Or they're bored. They're bored.
Yeah, it's okay. Just, you know, do some people watching. Keep your phone, in your bag, in your pocket. Put it in the center console. Put it in your bag and put it in the back seat where it's out of reach. You know, there's these little microcomputers that we carry around in our pockets every day are addictive. The screens are addictive. We're like Pavlov's dogs. Anytime that vibration goes off or that notification goes off, well, I need to look at it. What is it? It's so important. Put it away. It's not worth your life. It's not worth anyone else's life. We want people to get to their destination safely. And really a key part of that is if people were following the rules of the road and making sure they're staying alert and paying attention behind the wheel.
We've got Josh Morgan here from the Department of Transportation. Yes, thanks, Josh, for that text. It just clicked that's the other story I wanted to talk about. We'll get to Metro North in a second. You're always on it. I got to give you credit. First
here
of all, I know you are, and I'm here for you. I totally am. No, we're buddies. It's great. We first got to talk about the Kribari Bridge. There is some drama in Westport over this bridge, historical bridge. Everyone is familiar. As soon as you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, I know the bridge you're talking about. It needs some TLC, to say the least. But there's concerns about some of the proposals on the table. The majority of them would allow for these massive trucks to then be able to go through on that bridge. People are worried about town traffic. I mean, talk a little bit about this.
Yeah, you know, we had a really great public hearing a few weeks ago. If people weren't able to go, we do have video of that on our website, on our YouTube page. We do have the project presentation materials online because public comment is going to be accepted through April 17th. So people still have about 2 weeks to send us a comment, send us some mail, let us know what they're, you know, feeling about and, you know, what they're concerned about. you know, we don't want to operate in a silo. We don't want to operate in a vacuum. And it's why we do really robust public engagement and public involvement. So, you know, you use the word drama. I'll use the word passion. Because people want to know
Josh,
that
you're just so much better than I am. Yes, you always are so much more eloquent and lovely. I just mean there's a lot of, you know, drama stewing around this. Yeah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Well, it's interesting. You know, it's a historic structure. You know, it goes back to the 1880s. It's an old bridge. You know, it's an iconic piece of infrastructure for downtown Westport. And the community, the neighbors, you know, want to make sure that, you know, whatever we're doing fits the character of the neighborhood, fits the character of the community, and that's why we have these conversations. So, you know, we presented four different alternatives, ranging from basically doing nothing and just keeping trying to put Band-Aids on the bridge, to doing a full replacement, and everything in between. Really what's happening out there now and the concern that we're hearing from the community is they're worried about tractor-trailer traffic going into downtown Westport and trying to navigate some of those narrow roads. We agree that's not an appropriate detour route for trucks, not a great area to have semis coming through. But there's a weight restriction on that bridge. There's a height restriction on that bridge right now. It's not just about trucks. It could be emergency vehicles, fire apparatus that can't go across that bridge in the future. And when we're talking about anywhere between a $50 and $80 million project, we don't have 100% state funding to complete that. We need to rely on the federal government, and using federal dollars means that the bridge has to be up to current federal standards. That is certain height requirements, that's certain load requirements on the bridge. Again, no decision has been made. I think we're hundreds and hundreds of comments deep that we have received so far. If you have not heard back from us yet, that is by design. We're going to be responding to every comment we get after the public comment period ends on April 17th. So, again, you still have a little more than 2 weeks to let us know your thoughts on the Kabari Bridge project, and then your hill back directly from the team at the end of April and beginning of May once the comment period wraps up.
And just so you, Josh, and listeners at home know, I have put a link to Josh's podcast, which we'll post to our website, so you can go directly there for public comment on the Kabari Bridge. The other thing, Josh, that I wanted to talk about is you are absolutely right. The state is planning to spend more than $40 million on construction to upgrade certain Metro North branch lines. Now, this money sounds like it's going to kind of audio and visual information system. So talk a little bit about this. My understanding is it would be at 28 Metro North Railroad stations, including almost all of them, it seems, in Fairfield County.
Yep. Yeah, no, exactly. And anyone that is taking the train and they're waiting to hear the PA system, the dispatch to come in there to maybe let you know you're, instead of boarding on you know, platform one, you get to go to platform two, or maybe the train is being delayed. You know, it sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher, if I can date myself here.
No, I got you. I'm
thank
with you.
You.
Yeah, no worries.
You know, they're muddy. They don't sound good. They're not useful. So we want to upgrade those, have them all interconnected, so people are getting the same information at the same time, and also have those real-time trained arrival screens that display information, showing accurate real-time information. It's just going to improve the customer experience, make public transportation easier to use, make it more inviting, and that's the goal. We want to get more people out of their cars and into public transportation, and we need to make sure that it's, you know, safe, convenient, accessible, and making sure that those announcements, those screens, and all those upgrades are in place is just, you know, one component of how we're trying to improve the customer experience.
So when can we expect the upgrades? Will it impact customers who are taking the trains? I would imagine not, because it's on the platforms, not the trains.
Yeah, no, they'll be okay. You know, we're going to start work hopefully in the next year or so. It's going to take a couple years to do all the upgrades, but there should be minimal impact to the customers who are using these stations.
Okay. And I know, again, it's 28 Metro North Railroad stations. On that list, just so people know, you've got Bridgeport, Darien, East Norwalk, Fairfield, Fairfield, Black Rock, Milford, New Canaan, Old Greenwich, Southport, South Norwalk, Westport, and Wilton, just to name a few. How did you guys choose which platforms needed this? Like which stops needed the upgrades?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically all of them. on the New Haven line between Greenwich and New Haven, also looking at the branches, New Canaan and Danbury. We're not touching the Waterbury branch because we're actually redoing all of the stations as a separate project,
a separate construction project
mm-hmm. there. So, yeah, we're basically touching every New Haven and New Haven branch line station in Connecticut. And that's going to, you know, sync up and be unified. So no matter what station you're boarding in Connecticut or if you're boarding in New York State, you're going to hear the announcements. You're going to see the screens. It's just going to be a nice unified integrated system, which should hopefully make it easier and more inviting for people to use.
So that is, you said, going to start in the next year construction. How long does it take to have it? I mean, I would imagine those systems kind of go in pretty quickly, no?
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, it's 28 of them. It's not a, you know, knock this out in a weekend type of project at each one of these stations. So, yeah, it is going to take us a couple years. So, you know, we should get started by the end of this year and be wrapped by 2028.
Okay. Josh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I believe you and I will talk again before the end of the session in early May. I would love to get an update, if you don't mind, at that point where we're at legislatively with some of the major DOT related bills. Is that cool? Unless something major comes up in the next few weeks, I'd love to kind of see where we're at, especially before the session ends beginning of May.
Absolutely. Cool. You can count on me, Melissa. Thanks so much. Always good talking with you.
I always count on you, Josh, and you're so good and you're so eloquent. Like I said, you're like the way nicer version about transportation than me. That's why you have the job and I don't. And I love that. For many other reasons, you also have the job. You're qualified. I am not. But I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Have a great day, Melissa.
Thanks, Josh. You too. That is Josh Morgan, Department of Transportation. As I mentioned, anything you need to know that we talked about, you want more information on it, including where those locations are. Also, public comment for the Kravare Bridge story until April 17th. I have linked all of that to Josh's podcast on our website, voiceofct.com, when we post all the links up at 10 o'clock when the show wraps up.